take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. And once you find 1 Kings chapter 19, find verse number 1, and then if you would, please stand with me, and we'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 19, and I want us to look, starting with verse number 1, I'm going to read the first five verses of 1 Kings 19 to us. The Bible says this, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise, and eat." If you look back up at verse number 4, you'll see a little phrase that it is the title for my sermon this morning. It says, "It is enough now." About two-thirds way through that verse, you see it? It is enough now. I'll explain that in a moment. And let me pray for us. Father, help me to help someone today. We walk into church and there are many smiles and happy people, joyous people. But also, many people come to church and they have burdens and they have heavy weights in life, emotional weights that they carry. I pray that somehow we'll help them with that thought today. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would help me to help someone. Lord, those that maybe don't have a heavy burden right now, might they learn the lesson of today so that they can help somebody else? Now, God, please give me the attention of the people. I will give you my attention. And might we leave this property today energized, strengthened, and maybe a little more capable to face the battles of this life, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll have a seat there. If you were listening, you heard those words, "It is enough." And that's what Elijah is saying here. It is enough. That's what I call the sermon. Those words, if I may, Elijah had been through a lot, and now Elijah is facing a pressure, or he is facing a burden, he is facing a heartache, and at this little moment in the scripture, he's overwhelmed by what's come upon him, and I'm so glad to hear what Elijah said. He said, "It is enough." You say, "Well, what does that mean?" I think he was saying, "That's enough. I've had enough." I think he was saying, "I've had it." I think in his own way, Elijah was saying, "Up, can't take any more. I'm maxed out." And I'm glad that God allows us to see that part of Elijah. Elijah had just called down fire from the sky, and that in answer to prayer. Elijah had just destroyed the prophets of Baal in a virtual hand-to-hand combat. Elijah, in a time when God's people were becoming compromisers, Elijah had taken a stand, and he made this statement. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal be God, follow him." There are a series of historical victories and events that are taking place in this little setting, and Elijah has suddenly faces all these problems, and he fights all these battles. And then, after a series of struggles that he faced, something happens to him, and he says, "Oh, that's it. I'm maxed out." You say, "Well, what happened to him?" Well, he had fought all these battles, and I mean, we're talking about hundreds of false prophets that he fought hand to hand, calling down fire from the sky. And boy, he's faced a lot of things. And then when he makes this statement, when he says, "It is enough," you say, "Well, what happened? What caused this great man to say, 'Whoa, all of a sudden I'm overloaded'?" Well, what happened is a woman threatened him. Jezebel told him, he said, she said, I'm going to get you. Now this kind of tickles me a little bit. He had just killed hundreds of false prophets. He had just called fire down from the sky. You say, well, how hard is that? Well, go in your backyard this afternoon and work on it for a little while and figure it out. He had outran a chariot in this process. And then a woman said, I'm going to get you. And he said, I've had it. I can't take any more. Yeah, help me, men. So Jezebel threatens him and he says, I've had it. I wonder, will this problem slow this mighty warrior down? Now, seemingly, Elijah is a big problem solver. Those of you that have been around church some, you know Elijah took on a lot of major tasks and he succeeded at them. But this woman named Jezebel threatens him and she just said, all she did was say, I'm going to get you. And he went, oh, he panicked. He said, oh no. And the next thing you know, he not only panicked, he took off running. You understand, hundreds of false prophets, he walked into the midst of them with his sword on and fought them all hand-to-hand combat and killed them all. And a woman said, I'm going to get you. And he put his tail between his legs and he took off running. He went and found a tree to hide under. When we're talking about under, we mean behind. You know, the tree, and he's going, anybody see her out there? Now, you have this powerhouse of a man. He's hiding. He's hiding under a juniper tree. He's sulking. He's licking his wounds. It even got to the point where he said, I just wish I were dead. Because the woman had threatened him. You say, well, preacher, where's this sermon going? Well, it's not all about the threat of the woman. It's all about, though, how Elijah was handling what had come upon him. Remember, he faced all these major, major things. And then something came on him and it overwhelmed him. And his response was, it's enough. In other words, I've had enough. Have you ever been through maybe a battle or a series of battles and you finally just say, that's it. I just can't take anymore. I think we've all been there. Those of you that are adults, surely you've been there. And I hate to say this, you'll probably be there again someday. But boy, can I remember times when I just thought, oh, I can't believe this. And in Elijah's case, he fought a battle after battle after battle. And I tell you what he kept doing. He kept stepping up and this battle came to him. He said, all right, I'll fight this battle. And then another battle came at him and he said, okay, I'll fight this battle too. And then another battle came at him. And he said, okay, I'm going to take this on too. And then something else came and he said, okay, I've had enough. That's it. I've had it. Next thing you know, he's running. I think we've all been through some of that. If you say I've had it and it's your first wave of battles, get ready. There might be others coming at you. But let me tell you something that I see here, and I think I want to help us. I want you to understand, first of all, that Elijah was not seeing his problem clearly. I'm going to explain that. But I see that Elijah is not seeing this problem that came at him clearly. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 2, it says this, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. This is Jezebel threatening to get Elijah. But I don't think Elijah is seeing this as clearly as what he should. His problem was that one godless woman had threatened him. Reality was, it was only one woman. Reality was, it was only a threat. Reality was, the threat never came to pass. Can I tell you folks how many times the devil tries to psych you out? He comes at you roaring, and you're going, oh, it's all over. We're all going to die. I can't make it. I can't take it. And the devil's going, nee, 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 nee. And all the things that he threatens and makes you panic about, I wonder how many times they don't even come to pass. This woman threatened Elijah. He panics, but it was only a threat. And if you know the rest of the story, Paul Harvey here, if you know the rest of the story, the threat never even came to pass. Reality was that just prior to the threat, Elijah, with great power, mopped up 850 false prophets. I don't think Elijah was seeing things realistically. He was not seeing his problem clearly. And you know, folks, when most of our problems initially come upon us, at first glance, we don't see them realistically. A bomb hits in your life and you see the smoke and you see the devastation. And sometimes we think the bomb's bigger than what reality truly is. The shock of a problem blurs our spiritual eyesight. The devil places magnifying glasses upon this problem and scares us silly. And I think that's what happened to Elijah. Understand, Elijah had gone through some big, powerful challenges. And now this challenge of this threat from this woman comes upon him. And wow, he's going, this one's way too big. The truth is, it may be the smallest of all the challenges, but he was not seeing it clearly. Samson struggled with somewhat this same problem. Samson could defeat a thousand Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, and somehow he couldn't figure out how to get victory over Delilah. Now, what was the biggest battle? Was it Delilah? I don't think so. I think it was 1,000 Philistines. But he just wasn't seeing it right. See, folks, with God's help, you can handle any problem. And with God's help, you can handle any problem that comes into your life. And let me assure you of something. If you're a born-again Christian, no problem has come into your life that God is not aware of. God knows that problem is coming into your... Hey, God didn't wake up in the morning and say, what happened last night? We confirmed who? God knows what's going on. And God knows when a problem is coming your direction. God knows that. The biggest problem you have ever had, whether you realize this or not, the biggest problem you ever had, the biggest problem you ever faced was back when you were lost and on your way to hell, and all the demons of hell did not want you to get saved. And let me tell you something. If you're born again, God solved your biggest problem. And if He can solve that problem, He can handle everything from here on out. When God solved your hell problem, then you can be assured that you can depend on that God to carry you the rest of the way through. If you can trust God with your eternity, you can trust Him with everything else. Folks, all the other problems of life, honestly, are small compared to the salvation issue. All of hell opposed you getting saved. Now, if you're saved, you have heaven, your biggest problem is solved. The same one that solved that problem can solve the incidental issues between here and heaven. And I realize in this room, there's some that face what we might call bigger problems than others. But I have to tell you something. What is big and overwhelming to you may not be to someone else. But it really doesn't matter. If it's big and overwhelming to them, it's big and overwhelming to them. You look at their problem and you say, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that's not your problem. And your limit is not their limit, maybe. And we sometimes look at a child and you look at that child and you say, look at the burden they have. Isn't it silly that they're overwhelmed by that? Well, let me tell you something. You would have been overwhelmed by that when you were a child. There are some of you that are older Christians and you look at a younger Christian that's overwhelmed by a problem and you say, boy, why are they overwhelmed by that? When you were a younger Christian, you were overwhelmed by a burden of the very same level. But I'll promise you, when that burden comes, God knows about that burden. And Elijah, the problem that he faced here, he was not seeing this thing clearly. Problems actually are opportunities. an opportunity to watch God get glorified, an opportunity to trust God, an opportunity for God to show His power, the opportunity for God to show the lost that you trust in God and that God can solve your problems. And again, folks, if God can solve your salvation problem, He can solve all the other problems. So you just need to trust God. And let me testify, there are times when I've been hit with a problem and I looked at it and I said, there is no way I know what to do or how to handle this. And my initial reaction was, and I've had a couple conversations with God where I said, okay, I've had enough. Okay, you found my limit. But you know something? I woke up the next day and figured out God knew my limit. And though I did not think on Monday night it was going to be okay on Monday, on Tuesday morning I woke up and found, okay, we can get through this. So, Elijah was not seeing his problem clearly. And if I could help you today, remember, if God can solve your biggest problem, that's salvation. He can solve the rest. And sometimes initially the problem looks far bigger at its inception, at the beginning. But as you get into it, God figures out a way for you to handle it. And God's not shocked about your problem. Let me tell you this also. The second thing that I see about this story is Elijah tried to run from that problem. Elijah tried to run. Now, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 3, it says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. In other words, when that woman, who in his mind, the problem got blown out of proportion, his life was over. So he decided to run. That's what it says. And when he saw that, saw what? There really wasn't anything to look at. But when he saw it, he ran. Well, when he found out that Jezebel was out to get him, he ran. He thought, I will escape this problem. I want you all to understand something, and I don't tell you this to scare you, but I think you need to face reality. If God wants you to go through a certain problem because it's good for you, you're going to grow by it, you can't run away from it. You say, why? God knows where you're going. And God can help take that lesson with you wherever you go. Elijah said, I want to escape this problem. He thought that maybe that change of geography would make the problem go away. I learned something. Did you know that if you get sprayed by a skunk, if you change your location, you'll be taking your problem with you? Sometimes a change may not be the exact answer. Sometimes changes are made, and I understand this. I think there are times that changes are made not to run from a problem, but to solve a problem. I think God moved Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, but not because Abraham had a personal problem that needed corrected. God moved Abraham in his will, but not so that he could escape a problem. But I will tell you this, hey, I think there are times when people, I've watched churches that get deluded, they get corrupted. They used to believe the old time way and now they don't anymore. And people need to make changes. They've got to make a change to stay right with God. They've got to be in a church that preaches the old time religion and believes the old time way. That doesn't mean that they're running from a problem. It means they're protecting their purity and they're trying to stay right with God. But I can tell you this also. I've watched a lot of people try to run from a problem thinking that running will solve the problem. And most of the time running does not solve the problem. It's time for some of you in regard. And let me talk to you about your person and some of your personal character and your personal walk with God and your personal weakness. It's time for some of you to stop running and stop and face some of your personal problems and get them solved. Some of you need to stand up to yourself. You need to stand up to your weaknesses. Stop running. It's time to fix some things. You don't have to run from certain problems. You surely wouldn't want to go any place where God's not, right? Well, could I recommend something to you? God is where you are. You say, I'm going to run to where God is. You don't have to run. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Just turn to Him where you're at. He is our refuge right where we are. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, folks, let me tell you, don't run from failure to failure trying to escape your problem. Don't run from marriage to marriage trying to escape your problem. Hey, don't run from church to church trying to escape your problem. Don't run from ministry to ministry trying to escape your problem. Hey, don't run from job to job trying to escape your problem. We run from one set of friends to another set of friends and we think we're escaping. I got to tell you something, folks. Sometimes it's time to stop, look at the problem, face the problem, fix the problem, and then go on in victory. Many problems, you don't solve them by running. Have you heard the old term, running from the frying pan into the what? Fire. You're making it worse. I'll tell you, and there's probably somebody in here, you probably do this, and I don't know it. I had a lady that I counseled for many, many years. When she would face a problem and she began to get depressed about that problem, this is what she'd do. She'd jump in her car and start driving. She said, I got to drive. And I don't know why, but she'd reach out to tell me. She said, I'm having a bad day. I'm going to drive. And she would keep her mind busy while she was driving. And then she would get to her destination. Do you know what she always found when she got to that destination? The same depression in the car that she started with. Say why? She took it with her. She strapped it in with the seatbelt for the journey. Because her issue was being transported to a new location. And one day I said, you can drive all you want, but driving a vehicle doesn't solve depression. And in the way some of you drive, it causes depression for other people. But listen, I believe that first thing that happened with Elijah in this story is he got hit and the devil blew that thing out of proportion to the point where he thought his life was over. The second thing, he tried to run from a problem that really he needed to stand and fix some things. He needed to take a stand and fix the problem. And I don't believe that running is always the answer. Thirdly, let me tell you this. Elijah thought that his problem was bigger than his life could sustain. His story gets a little more complicated. I said, thirdly, Elijah thought his problem was bigger than his life could sustain. 1 Kings 19:4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. That's him running. He came and sat down under a juniper tree. Now he's sulking and licking his wounds. And he requested for himself that he might die. And that's when he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Now he said, see, he got hit. The problem got blown way out of proportion. He decided to run, and you know what? He ran, but you know, the problem must have followed him, because wherever he went, he said, I want to die. So running didn't fix it, did it? And now he's confused. You say, well, how is he confused? Well, Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. So he ran. Why? Because he didn't want to die. So he went under a tree and said, I want to die. And I'm going, whoa! You ran because you didn't want to die. And you arrived at what you thought was safety. And the first thing you request is, I want to die. I'm going to guess he's confused in the midst of the battle, huh? Now, folks, you might want to be careful how you react to the burdens that come upon you. Because he said, I want to die. His problem has confused some of his thinking. He's not thinking right. Now, let me tell you something. If the answer was to die, God could have provided death. But that wasn't the answer. You know that even sometimes even good people allow the devil to falsely magnify their problems out of proportion to the point where they want to die. Let me tell you all something. Christians are supposed to want to live to serve God. You say, oh, I just want to go to heaven. Well, if you just want to go to heaven because you're so madly, passionately in love with Jesus, I understand. But I don't find very many people like that. The people say, I just want to die. They're trying to escape something. Well, I'm not trying to be mean to you about it. I'm just telling you the reality of it. And you're not to pick when you die. God's to pick when you die. So say, well, I woke up this morning. I guess you're in, buddy. You're stuck like the rest of us. There are days when I'm thinking, boy, it should be a good day for Jesus to come back. But Brother Jay, I'm not thinking that because I'm so passionately in love with Jesus and I can't wait to get to heaven. I've had it with my next door neighbor and I'm ready for Jesus to come back. Most of the time, it's not, who's a good day for the Lord to come. It is not because you just love heaven. It's because you're having a tough time on earth. And there's a difference. But sometimes, good people allow the devil to falsely magnify their problem. They run emotionally, they run physically, and they find out that they strapped the problem in the car and took it with them. And then they say, I just wish I were dead. Do you know that Moses led God's people out of captivity, and they get to complaining like babies. They didn't like their food. Moses got to a point where Moses said, I just can't take it. And in Numbers 11:15, he said, God, kill me. But God said, no, Moses, I'm not letting you out of this. You can do this. And if Moses would have turned to God and said, God, what makes you so sure that I can do this? God would have said, I'm in control of this whole thing, Moses. If I tell you, you can do this, you can do this. And if death were the answer, I'll provide. Well, folks, let me explain. If death is the answer to your way out, then God will provide. But let me see it. Sure does look to me like everybody in here is alive. So today, you're stuck facing this thing and deciding, okay, I guess God thinks I can do this. You know, Job was suffering terribly. And Job even said, oh, would to God that my mother's womb were my grave. Well, what was it? Job was under the gun. He was facing a burden. But God didn't let him die, or God didn't kill him, which meant what? God was saying, Job, you can do this. There is yet life to live. There is victory available. And you're letting the devil blow it out of proportion. I believe there are people under the sound of my voice today that have faced recently, maybe even in the last few weeks, something where you said, this is too big. I feel like my life is over. If you'll just hang in there, there are other people in here that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, thought their life was over. But their life wasn't over. And you know what? They're smiling again. They're singing again. They have victory again. Why? The devil blew that thing so far out of proportion. And he said, this is just too big for you. And the devil lied to you. And he chased you. And he scared you. And he told you it's all over. But thank God, if God can save me and you and promise us heaven, he can handle all the other burdens. And you didn't die. And for some, they were forced into living again tomorrow, and then the day after, and the day after, and they began to realize, okay, I'm alive, I'm going to have to do something. Okay, I'll hang in there. And you start pulling it back together, and you made it. Well, I'm not saying you're a finished product, but I am saying you face what Elijah did. Maybe you face what Moses or Job. Do you understand the story of Jonah? Jonah ran from God. He was swallowed by the whale. And he preached to everybody in a city, repent or judgment will come. And you know what happened? They repented. And he got bummed out. He said, they all repented. To the point where he said, oh, I just want to die. Now, I don't have time to explain the whole story, but he told everybody, you repent or you're going to die. They all repented. And I don't know if Jonah was looking forward to a really neat judgment day. It didn't come. And he said, oh, I just want to die. But God didn't let him die. And if God wants someone to be dead, he'll take care of that. If I were you, I wouldn't be sitting around wishing for it all the time. I don't see Elijah constantly saying, I wish I were dead. 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 That's not it. He faced a burden. He looked at it. He said, I wish I were dead. He got past it. And God said, no, we're going to get on with this thing. You've got life to live. And let me tell you all something. If you're alive, God has a purpose for your life. And if you're not careful, you'll be wasting your life and wasting that purpose. There's a reason you're alive, Christian. Don't let the devil falsely magnify your problem in your thinking beyond God's ability to solve it. And death is another way of running. Elijah maybe was looking for the easy way out. Let me tell you something. It takes less character to die than it does to unify with God and solve your problems and face the issues and get victory. But I'll tell you something, folks. If God thought your problem was bigger than your life, He would end your life. But evidently, He wants you to live on. And God doesn't want anybody to live on because you're His toy, or you're His entertainment. You're His servant. That means He wants to get something out of your life. If I were you, I'd make sure that He got that. Let me quickly make another application. I think Elijah thought that maybe he was better than the problem that came upon him. Let me read 1 Kings 19:4 to you. I'm going to read the last part of the verse. It says, "And he requested for himself that he might die. He said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." And then he makes this statement, and I really never noticed it until recently. He said, "For I am not better than my fathers." This is the same Elijah that we've been discussing. He said, "For I am not better than my fathers." I wonder whoever told him he was better than his fathers. Now, could I warn you all of something? Don't you get to thinking that if you face a problem that you shouldn't have to face that problem. And I don't want to make you mad at me, but y'all know something? We could have gone to hell. So I think God's unfair. Don't say that about God. God's never been unfair. God's not unfair. God's holy. God's perfect. God's just. And God's good all the time. And you say, "Well, I don't think I deserve it." We deserve hell. Now, am I happy you're going through a hard time? Not at all. Do I want you to have to go through hard times? Not at all. But I do want you to do what God wants. Listen, don't ever get to thinking that you're too good to face the problems of life. You say, "But what I face, nobody else has to face." I think you're wrong. What you mean is you don't know anybody else that's facing it. But there's somebody that faced it. Matter of fact, there's somebody that faced worse than what you face. Don't ever think you're too good to have a problem with your marriage. And don't ever you think that maybe you're too good to have problems with your children. Don't you get to thinking you're too good to have problems in your finances. Don't you get to thinking you're too good to have problems in your ministry. Listen. We had all better get the right perception about this thing. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And if we face a problem, I don't wish it upon anybody. But God knows what He's doing. And you're never above a particular problem. Is it possible in your arrogance, your shock that you have this problem? I'm not exactly sure I can totally decipher what Elijah meant. But he made this statement, "I'm not better than my fathers." Well, this was in the midst of the mess that he was in. You know what? Can I tell you why Paul survived his problems that he faced? Listen to what Paul said about himself. "O wretched man that I am." And he also said, "I am the chief of sinners." Can I tell you something? If you've got the "O wretched man that I am" belief, and if you feel like you're chief of sinners and some problem comes upon you, you're not mad at God for it. If you put yourself where you belong, then your problems will stack up where they belong in your thinking. Do you understand how I believe Job survived his problem? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says Job abhorred himself. Let me tell you, someone that says, "I'm just a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, scum-of-the-earth sinner." Can I tell you, when you have that attitude and you mean it and a problem comes upon you, you're not throwing yourself around saying, "I can't believe this happened to me. Why did this happen to me? Why am I going through this? I deserve better." Now, truly humble people don't throw that sort of stuff at God. They say, Could be worse. You say, well, Pastor, what I'm going through, it couldn't be worse. Don't say that while you're standing around me, because I don't want God to prove you wrong in my presence. Because it could be worse, far worse. Isaiah survived his problems because he said, I am a man of unclean lips. Look, folks, if you and I will keep ourselves down where we belong, the devil can't be going around knocking us down. I'm not talking about your personal sinful habits. I'm talking about your attitude about yourself. If you say, I have this problem, but I'm really better than this problem, you're not better than any problem. Problems come to sinners, and we all have to face them realistically. You know, the Bible says that it rains on the just and on the unjust. Sometimes problems come upon Christians, and they're shocked that they came to them. Okay, I understand the shock, but you better come to reality real quick. There's no problem out there that is beneath you. You say, well, I shouldn't be facing this problem. Why not? Aren't you a sinner saved by grace that the devil hates? I wish I had time. I do not. But I there's another point. Elijah thought that he was the only one that was facing a problem to this degree. And in the scripture, the Bible, he said this. He said, I only am left. He said, I'm the only one facing this. I'm doing this all by myself. And later on, we find out there were 7,000 others in that country that were taking a stand just like Elijah. Well, the sermon is called, It Is Enough. That's Elijah saying, I've had it. I've been pushed beyond my limit. But I believe God comes along and says, no, you haven't. And you know what ends up happening in this story? Elijah comes to his senses. God comes to him and gives him the food and water that he needs, gives him one big honking meal. And Elijah goes for weeks on the energy of one meal because he gets it together spiritually and mentally. And he says, you know what? I can do this. And I am going to take this and I can make it through this and I am going to succeed. And he does get up and take off and succeeds. But remember, what was his problem? Well, he let the devil psych him out and blow that thing out of proportion all the way to the point where he said, I'd be better off dead. He ran, and then he thought that that problem was bigger than his life, and it wasn't. And it wasn't going to take over his life, and it was not going to ruin the rest of his life. God had a plan for the rest of his life. He just needed to make it through this one. Let's do this. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know what you're facing. But Elijah said, it's enough. I feel like I've taken enough. I don't know I can take any more. Maybe you can learn something from what you have heard today. Maybe you can say, Pastor, I needed to hear that. I needed to be challenged by it. The devil has made this thing overwhelming to me to the point that I'm not even thinking right. I think there are times when we pull ourselves out of situations, but be careful. You can't run from everything. And most things that God wants to fix, you don't fix it by running. But who here today would say, Pastor, God has challenged me. I've been challenged by what I've heard today. It's going to help me. I needed it this time in my life. And God's going to use it to help me. Would you put your hand up and let God see that you're going to let God use it. If you're here today and you've never been born again, may I ask this question? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I'm not saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Good. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with those heads bowed and those eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, maybe you need to come. Maybe you're facing a burden. Maybe you're facing that heartache. Maybe you found yourself recently saying, I've had it. I've had enough. I can't take it. Oh, let me remind you. The burden comes, and it always is blown out of proportion by the devil. He tries to convince you this is so big, it's going to ruin everything forever. He's good at that. The devil's a liar. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can trace back. There were days or weeks or months in your life where you felt so devastated that you wondered if you'd ever have a life again. But you're working your way through it. And now some of you have victories. And you're smiling again and laughing again. And it's possible. It is enough, he said. You remember that if God felt like ending a life were the answer, then he'd take care of that. But since you're alive, doesn't look like that's the answer. Say, well, then what's the answer? Live. And live victoriously. Ushers, in a moment, we're going to take our building fund offering, so you can prepare yourselves for that. Get to thinking that a particular problem is beneath you. Boy, can God humble you. That one problem you just never felt like you ought to have to face because of who you are, it may come upon you so God can humble you and get your attention. He said, I would have never thought. Okay, if that was in arrogance, God has a way of humbling us. I can't tell you what problems I face, and I think, I wish I would have never. Hey, I'll tell you something. Don't look down on somebody else who's going through a problem. Like, well, look, boy, I'll never go through that. We'll just make sure of it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God can humble you so fast. Anything anybody else is going through, you may be going through it. It might be wise for you to love and care and be forgiving and understanding, and instead of criticizing and attacking them, maybe you ought to pray for them. One more time through the song and we'll be done. Thank you, Rachel.